You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here is Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. We've got Josh Shores here with Peter Raber and Brian. You came back.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks. I thought I'd come visit you guys.
You still work here.
You sound better.
Yeah. Yeah, no one wanted to hear me that last week.
You had a bit of a Darth Vader kind of growl in your breathing.
I liked how when we were in our weekly kind of get-together meeting, you know, Chassie looked over and said, "What is that sound?"
Yeah, if you ever want to make a coworker feel good and they're sick, you just call them out in front of everybody. It's great.
And Brian's like, I'm breathing.
This one whopped me out a little bit. I was kind of down for a few days.
It was. Well, it is May 19th when we're recording this. Today's my son's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you for our intro.
Happy birthday, Nolan. The big 1-0.
Oh, double digits.
Yeah, everyone's been saying that, double digits. I don't really know what that means,
though. One-tenth of a century
I
old.
I know what it means, but...
See, when there's two numbers and they're next to each other, they're double digits.
We all went to school for different things. It's fine.
And Peter had a birthday Wednesday.
Wednesday. Also a double-digit birthday.
Yeah, well into the double digits.
I'm not going to say what it is. That's up to you. That's your discretion.
42.
Okay, 42.
Nice.
On the record, did you do anything fun?
I was on the baseball field all day. Oh, well. The market was up. I'll take that. Had lunch at Chop House with my wife. We had a builder meeting for the office, and then from 6 till 9:30 was over at the baseball field.
If that doesn't sound like a 42-year-old's birthday, I don't know what
but
is.
But, I mean, it's Peter. He got to spend time with his family, and he got to do baseball, and the market was up. That's a good birthday.
It was right up there. Now, we didn't do presents or cake. We didn't have time for any of that. But, no, it was fun. For my older son's practice, I actually got to catch because our backup catcher didn't have his gear. So I threw on a hodgepodge of gear. I threw on 8-year-old shin, like 4 8-year-olds shin guards that barely fit, a tiny helmet, and then just whatever chest protector I could find and got behind the plate.
Glad he has those dancer's legs or he'd never get
it. It was rough. Almost threw a guy out at second, did throw out a guy at first, and then had a play at the plate where I blocked it. So nice. All in all, it was a good birthday for me.
Those kids didn't stand a chance.
I'm not going to let them win.
I think that, like, if I ever have kids and I'm teaching them how to play baseball, the competitive nature would be hard to hold back.
Oh, yeah.
Learning baseball would also be hard.
Yeah, it's like you said in the car today, you'd have to get someone to teach you to throw first before you could teach your child. So what's happening with the debt ceiling these days?
We are closing in on disaster.
Oh, God. That just goes fitting for the lunch we had earlier.
Yeah, Josh and I went to Kiwanis Day, and they were talking about artificial intelligence. And we're coming home, and Josh is just – or coming back to work, and Josh is just silent.
No, you're coming home.
Yeah, coming Josh is just silent.
It's one of those things. Elon Musk was talking about it, and the comment he made, I think, really resonated with me, that every other thing, we allow disaster to happen first, then we put in regulations.
Yeah.
He was like, if we don't put regulations in for AI before, there is no after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that if you allow it to get out of control... And you could make the argument, we're right there where these regulations need to come in. Sam Altman was just speaking in front of Congress, who he's the CEO of OpenAI, which is ChatGPT.
Uh-huh. Right.
But AI things are popping up everywhere. And if we aren't careful, it could really, really be dangerous.
Well, apparently there's a growing list of AI engineers who are just leaving Google because they're saying they don't want to be part of this thing that they think is going to wipe out humanity.
/ they're getting paid more on the black market. If you know how to do it, I mean, that's going to be a field that is tremendous.
Yeah.
I use it daily, So I'm right there mm-hmm. with the problem.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I was riding back in Brian's car, and I was just so Magoo, just depressed, just riding. I was like, well.
We have happy-go-lucky Josh, and when he's the sad one in a car, you know you've done something
and
wrong.
I was thinking, how funny is it because, you know, I have terrible luck, which I tell everyone all the time. My luck's terrible. And I was like, it would be just my luck for the world to actually come to a halt and it be during my lifetime. That's how
so
bad
my luck
ends, is.
So if the world ends, it's because of Josh's luck.
It's because of my luck. So this is not sound financial advice. Just go ahead and cash out all your IRAs and do all the things. Take the trips. Buy the Lamborghini. Buy the helicopter.
Again, we all went to school for very different things.
Yeah, that's not the sound advice. No, it's the fun advice.
Peter's face while Josh was talking.
Well, you know, it just sounded like, you know, the politicians who promise everything and then just keep on getting us back to the debt ceiling, keep on running up debt. It'll be all right.
Yeah. So nothing's changed with debt ceiling.
We've had some leaks out of Washington that frameworks of deals are being made, but June 1st is quickly approaching, and if they don't get a deal by then, we definitely have issues. There's some arguments about, you're going to start to hear these, so just so everybody's aware, the president using the 14th Amendment. So the 14th Amendment would allow the president to unilaterally just keep spending. Functionally, because it was put in at the end of slavery, and it was put in so that northern states would not have to fund southern debts, basically.
Okay.
And so there's a line in the 14th Amendment that says the U.S. debt will not be functionally compromised, that we have to pay our debts. And so there's already starts to be calls for the 14th Amendment to be invoked, which functionally would end in the Supreme Court, but we would keep on spending and issuing out debt. So basically we would hit June 1st, we hit our technical debt ceiling, the president will say the debt ceiling is unconstitutional, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to keep on issuing out debt, and then it would end up in the Supreme Court. Nobody wants this to happen. It would still be bad on the market. Mm-hmm. It would not be as bad as a direct default, in that we would still have Social Security payments made, veterans benefits paid, interest payments on our debt. But it would definitely, if all of a sudden there was a question mark as to whether or not the debt that was being issued was legal, you're going to have to pay a lot more for that. So mm-hmm. our interest rates could potentially skyrocket there. Not as bad as just a pure default, mm-hmm. potentially. Nobody knows.
Right.
The theory is that it's not as bad as a pure default. But everybody has functionally come out and said, we will not default on our debt. But they haven't come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we won't default on the debt if I get my way.
Yeah.
And if you get your way, but our ways are different. So somebody's going to have to bend. I do think it's probably going to be the president and the Democrats will bend a more just to make sure that it doesn't happen on Biden's watch. But we're running out of days here. We're, you know. About
what's
10,
wild is how the
days.
Market's been reacting these last few days to the lack of news.
The market is assuming that we're going to raise the debt limit.
And most of my clients that I've talked to have also said that exact same thing. They're assuming it also.
I mean, it's kind of like assuming that the Goodyear blimp is not going to crash into Neyland Stadium.
Right.
You assume that that's going to happen. Is it a 99% chance that that's not going to happen? Yes. But when we're talking about the entirety of the U.S. economy, is it worth the 1% chance?
I've personally insured things that have less likely chance of happening.
Right.
So
the market's pricing in probably about 2 to 5% chance of this happening. We'll see. We've definitely had a lot of clients talk to us about going to the sidelines. And for certain people in certain demographics and certain financial situations, I've said, absolutely, let's get to the sideline. We can make 5% in a CD for a month. Let's just sit this one out, which I think is a smart thing. Now, if you're 25, 30, and you're looking for long-term growth, ride it out.
Yeah.
But if you're already in retirement and can't afford a 20% loss, which I think is a legitimate loss if this thing goes sideways, sidelines aren't a bad place to be.
Well, here's a side note for that sideline. Is the Goodyear blimp still around?
I really hope so, because otherwise I'm going to feel old. And I just had my 42nd birthday.
He said the Goodyear blimp. And of course, I know what he's talking about. I know. But then I was like, man, I'm not seeing that thing in a while.
It might be slightly less than a 1% chance if it's not up there.
Yeah. I probably could have gone with a different reference.
No, but it's okay. I didn't know. I just not. That used to be a thing. It was a big thing.
Yeah.
They would just fly.
Every big sporting event.
Yeah, it was flying around up there. I don't know. Maybe they don't do it anymore.
I will say one of my pet peeves is when they get the blimp shot of a arena or a stadium that has a closed top. Like, I don't understand that, but it happens all the time. Like, you get a picture of, you know, just a dome, and you're like, okay, you're over the mini dome. You're over, whatever. It makes sense that at open air at events, you get to see the full spectacle. Neyland's a good example. Like, you get to see the fireworks over the river and everything else. But why are you going over the Georgia Dome in Atlanta? I mean, you're just seeing the silver top.
See all the cars.
Yeah.
All the birds.
All the birds.
And just all the people piling in, I guess.
Yep. You know, this is really off topic and maybe not even financial, but have you all noticed a lot more military aircrafts have been going towards Tri-City Airport these last couple weeks?
I have not.
So they've been coming in lower than usual and over my house for about 2 weeks now. And when say, like, there was 15 military helicopters came over my house yesterday.
Great. Great.
Fighting that AI,
well,
I guess.
I do know that the governor came to town on a helicopter for the Northeast State graduation. He was in Gatlinburg. It took him 6 minutes to get here.
Oh, wow.
Spoke at the graduation and then got back on either a helicopter or jet and left. So
we really need an AFI helicopter. I feel like that really. Yeah. Josh has been saying this for years.
Thank you.
Well, how about we put a sticker on one of those little drones and then we'll have an
AFI. Fly it over Neyland Stadium.
Do you know that you've got to have a special certification to fly drones over more than two people? Like if there's a crowd with more than two people, you have to have a FAA licensed certification.
I didn't know that.
Two people. Kingsport State Police has a couple people who are certified for it.
Okay. I know they're really particular about it over near Bristol Motor Speedway during that time, which is smart.
Speaking of Kingsport City, we've been nominated for an award.
Yeah, Best of Kingsport Investment Firm.
That's right.
Yeah, we're
Times News.
They're still voting for that, aren't they?
I think it goes until June 4th, I think.
There's a lot of really cool categories on there.
So, yes, we have been nominated as Best of Kingsport for Investment Firm. So if folks feel the need or the desire, just go to the Time News website. I think you then go click on finance, then investment firm, and you'll see us there.
But there's a bunch of categories, too.
I made the mistake of starting at the beginning, thinking I would get there someday. There's so many things to vote on. So it is,
it's cool.
It's cool. We're excited just to be nominated. There's also a financial planning category that we're not in. So
I noticed that,
Yeah. But, it's good to be nominated. We're super... super pleased. It'll help Josh in all of his things.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be beneficial. I know we are going to be starting kind of a new series. Just came up with that. Called
Financial Confessions.
Oh, yeah. We're excited about this one.
This was a Brian brainchild earlier this morning, but... We were trying to think of relevant things to talk about, and we're in a little bit of a lull, and obviously the things we have talked about have been doom and gloom and depressing, and we want to hear how other people have totally messed up financially in their life. But no, the thinking is... it's kind of a play on words a little bit. We want people to be able to... obviously, one, think ahead, but two, consult with someone before you end up in this
Absolutely.
Category. And it's like I always say, don't be a statistic.
Yeah, and so, let's all learn from each other's mistakes.
Yeah, but some, you know, some mistakes are a lot
and
bigger.
And laugh at each other, yeah.
Some mistakes are a lot bigger than others. And can I tell you guys a story?
Yeah. Fire away.
Do
Go
you like
it.
Stories?
Of course.
Story time. Did you all have stories read to you when you were children? I didn't.
Did you?
That's why we both have MBAs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Math and stories are bad for John.
Here we go. So I do want to say this before I read this story. Those who know me well will know that I'm going to say this. And I want to go ahead and just get it out in the open so no one gets frustrated. I am not a fan of the Beatles, the band. I'm not a fan.
Certain songs.
I like the Beatles.
I can listen to their music, and I can appreciate what the Beatles did for their era and for music. But I'm not that guy who's like all about it. Disclaimer. But here's a fun story. On New Year's Day in 1961, there was a little-known rock band with a bug-themed name. Wonder who that could be.
The Fireflies.
Spoiler alert.
The Herman Hermits.
Yeah, that's right. But they gave a shaky performance at Decca Records. It's the Beatles were eager to get a record deal, and while they were a bit nervous during their audition, they felt confident in their chances. Well, Decca's A&R representative, Mike Smith, decided to sign another band instead because he felt, this is air quotes, guitar groups were on their way out. End of air quotes. I would say that's a huge financial hiccup.
I would also say it's bold to make a claim like that. Just
especially since everything after the Beatles was so heavily guitar influenced. Yeah. I mean, then you got your people rolling in like Jimi Hendrix and Stevie Ray Vaughan and mm-hmm. all these people. Yeah. Sorry, Mike, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah, not signing the Beatles is a
That's
financial
a funny...
faux pas.
Yeah. So probably yours is not as bad when you send it in and we won't even say your name.
Right. It can all be anonymous. You just send them in to connect@afiadvisors.com. But, you know, if old Mike would have maybe, you know, consulted with some people outside of his bubble, he might have made a more educated decision on signing that record deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be anything. You know, I'll throw one out there from us even. You know, Dad for years paid a particular Tennessee business tax that we didn't know. And so, and Tennessee wasn't going to tell us.
That's
that
how
we didn't
responsible
know.
He was, though. Yeah.
So every year he would send a check for about $200 to the state of Tennessee. And then I'm going through all of Dad's financial records as I took over in 2019, you know, having to pay some of those things. And I went over to Robert and I was like, do we have to pay this? We looked at it. Then we called the state and they're like, no. And so,
but they weren't going to tell you that.
No. And then we were like, well, can we get that back? And they were like, you can ask, but that's going to have to go through process. Still haven't heard back.
It's low on the priority.
You know, but
list.
From 91 to 2019, we paid this particular tax.
Wow. That's how much would that
It
add
was
up?
Thousands and thousands of dollars over that time period, plus the opportunity cost and the growth and everything else. But Dad thought that we were one of the businesses that applied to. He was wrong. And so we paid it every year. And it was one of those ones that, depending upon how many people, so it, like, as we added employees, the tax got bigger. So early on, it was just Dad and Mom, so not that big, and then it grew and grew and grew. So, yeah, it was a financial faux pas
that's,
for sure.
That's super responsible when you're paying taxes you don't even need to pay.
Oh, and Dad would have hated it to know it. You know, paying a tax that he didn't have to pay. Oh,
I also man. Think it's funny when you're talking about how, you know, you asked about can we get any sort of a refund for that? And you're waiting, whatever. this is really funny because I feel like I'm experiencing this right now because I had to pay this year on my taxes.
Right.
Brian did my taxes through no fault of his own. I had to change it after it done been submitted.
By fault of my own.
I also had to do mine and
But no, here's the funny part of the story. Essentially, Brian submits it and within like a day, they've already jerked it out of my account. Like it's gone.
Yeah.
And so we amended and now they owe me money back.
Right.
But they're like, it could be up to 16 weeks. I just think it's so funny that they'll just like...
Oh, with the debt ceiling, they're not sending it back to you. Yeah. That's one of those things that they will delay and delay and delay.
We're tracking my amended returns, yeah. And it's like...
Because I checked with Brian, was it first this week or into last week, something like that, and he checked on the status for me and sent a screenshot over, and it said, please allow up to 16 weeks. And I'm like, oh, my Lord. And he was like, yeah, you don't need that money anyways, do you?
He didn't know he was going to get it. It's fine.
Yeah, that's my bad. There was an error in my W-2 calculator, and it reflected things slightly differently.
Well, it's not so much about that. It's more so, it's just it's frustrating to me that, you know, they'll jerk it away in like 24 hours, but then if they owe you money, it's like, we'll get it to you in a few months.
The state of Virginia so my wife works in Virginia, and they took out what we owed them within half an hour of me submitting my tax return.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's insane how quickly it goes when it's, you know, automated like that.
Well,
but you have to have somebody review it. It takes forever.
Yeah. Brian, I feel like you might have a story, and this is totally off the cuff. You might have a story about a terrible financial decision you've made in your life.
Can't think of any. No, okay, I'll throw one out there. This one's a fairly early on one for me. It's a safe space. When I first started working here, one of the things that's interested me more than any of the rest of it was the researching of stocks, understanding why they're going up, why they're going down. And I think it was one of my more passionate presentations, but do you remember me telling you that I thought GameStop was the best decision ever, Peter?
I remember shooting the idea down.
Man, Peter's getting hammered today.
No,
it was pre-meme stock.
Yeah, this is pre-meme stock. I did this analysis. I'm learning it, you know, so I figure I'd take it to Peter and present it to him. Peter's like, no, this is an awful lot. And it was.
It went down a lot before the whole meme stock.
Oh, absolutely.
Thing.
Yeah. No, there's no way I would have held this had I bought it for anybody because it was so bad. I still like to say, yeah, it worked out for me, but no, that was just generally learning how to pick stocks. I picked some really wild ones starting out.
Hmm. I was sitting here thinking, I've got so many that I don't know if I could just pick one.
and you know, it could be bad financial habits too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm awful at this. I buy a $2.50 20-ounce Diet Mountain Dew like every time I go to the grocery store. Horrible financial decision. Mm-hmm. You know, but those recurring bad habits do add up, but you really don't want to look at the cumulative total and what you could have done. Like, they always do that with people who smoke. They're like, look, if you take the amount that you spend on cigarettes over the course of the year, and then you do it over the course of a decade, and over the course of, you know,
you could
lifetime,
have retired 10 years earlier.
Yeah, those recurring expenses can really get you. The people who have like two Netflix accounts because they accidentally signed up twice, you know, that type stuff. You know, it's you know, we all make these mistakes, and so if we can learn from each other,
yeah,
great.
And I think that's kind of the point here. That we're really trying to drive home. It's not to necessarily call anyone out or to poke fun too much at someone.
Yeah, you got to laugh at these things too,
yeah,
though.
But I think that there's a lot to be said about learning from other people's mistakes before you have to be the one to, you know, suffer the consequences for it. So I think that even what you said about the spending habits.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think people wouldn't even really realize that until you call them out on it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, until you literally sit down with a financial document and highlight all of the, what did you say? What was it? Diet Mountain Dews?
Diet Mountain Dews, yeah.
Diet Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew.
Well, and it's even better because it's, for me, you know, there's an element of that's hidden because I'm buying legitimate groceries. So it's just $2.50 more in groceries versus, but at one point, Kate and I did this. We looked at, we pulled credit card statements for like a previous 3 month period and we highlighted all the fast food. And we're like, oh my God, we have to stop fast food. Like, mm-hmm. But until you see it, those microtransactions can really, and so when it's put in front of your face, yeah, it can definitely, and that's, you know, one of the reasons Dave Ramsey has so much success with his envelope system. Mm-hmm. It's like when the envelope's gone for that particular spending category, it's gone. So you see it. And I think those kind of unconscious purchases, you know, and if you've got guilty pleasure ones, you know, that's, they definitely add up.
Subscription, not keeping up with subscriptions is a huge one too. You know, we have, like my house, you know, you got your Netflix, your Amazon Prime, we have Adobe because Lacey's doing, you know, her art thing, and like all these subscriptions, if I didn't keep up with them, we would end up with dozens of them that we didn't even use.
And it's tricky because usually anything or any person who's providing something that's subscription-based, you're typically going to provide your account information up front.
Up front. And you might get a month or two for free.
Which they obviously do that on purpose because they know that you're going to sign up for the 30 free days. Mm-hmm. And of course you're going to forget to cancel it before day 31. Boom.
I'll sign up for them and then immediately, if they allow you to, immediately just take your card off there. And then you'll just get an email saying, we tried to charge you and your card wasn't on there.
Apps are really bad about that, your phone. But at least it's easier to pre-cancel those. You just have it set to not renew on the free trial. But, yeah, it's bad. I mean, why do you think they made us, and Brian maybe didn't have to do this, but why did we have to sell magazine subscriptions when we were in school, when we were young? They were knowing that, oh, well, you're going to get Good Housekeeping or Sports Illustrated
was the big
years,
one for us.
Years,
yeah.
You know, because you signed up because your neighbor's kid, you know, was selling a subscription. Mm-hmm. And it was super cheap for that first year. And then, oh, we got you another year. Oh, forgot to do it again. Oh. Then 10 years later, I don't even read that magazine. Keep showing up.
They didn't update the address, so it's actually going to someone else, too, so you don't even get the reminder.
Even those back in the day were even worse because you didn't have the frequent notifications of it.
No.
You had to, like, remember literally that in the next calendar year, this was going to automatically renew, and no one's going to remember that. They're going to remember it when they get the newest edition of the new year, and they're like, oh, I knew I forgot something.
Right.
I remember that. Sports Illustrated, that was always the hot one for us.
You would sell that one. National Geographic normally sold well.
Yeah, National Geographic. Was there I feel like there was some home book. Like a Better Home and Gardens.
Better Home
or
and Gardens.
Something like that.
Southern Living, you know.
Southern Living.
You had to know which door you were knocking on. You know, you learned those salesmanship
earlier. Had to know your audience really well.
The little old lady walks up. You just like slowly put the Sports Illustrated behind your back and pull out a Southern Living. Yep.
I mean, they teach you early on that.
Know your audience. It's an important lesson.
Yep. Some of us went to school for that. I can't cuss. Smart aleck. Oh, that's too funny. So I think having these kind of financial confessionals will be really beneficial. And we would appreciate it if folks would send in some things where maybe you had to learn something the hard way, or maybe you know of someone who had to, you know, go through some kind of a hardship to learn a really important lesson with that. But, you know, we're very pro conversation, getting everything on the table. Peter's always said he's the one who's going to raise his hand and ask the dumb question. So
I think all of us kind of fall in that. None of us are scared of asking dumb questions.
Well, we've created a safe space for dumb questions.
I wanted to ask a question today at lunch so bad when that dude got done with the AI stuff. I just want to be like, so what's the upside here?
The upside is that we're taking away people's jobs.
He did a good presentation.
He did.
It was one of those, does anybody have any questions? And you know the Kiwanis group, we always have questions.
Yeah.
This time everybody was just kind of like, no.
Yeah,
not
just
today.
Depressed.
Just depressed. Well, we'll wrap it up with that on a good depressed note. I like how we came full circle.
Well, didn't want you to, like, leave happy, right?
Depressed, a little bit of an upswing. Let's get back down here in the trenches. But send in your true confessions to connect at AFIadvisors.com. You can check out our website at AFIadvisors.com, and you can also follow us on social media. That's where we like to share and interact with folks like you. And, I mean, if you want to vote for an investment firm for the best of Kingsport, you have that option on Times News. So, guys, any closing remarks?
I'm good.
I'm good here.
All right. Everyone have a great day. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.